Welcome to Midland Classical Academy's Good Night Dad podcast. Our promise is to partner with parents to develop Christ-like leaders. Now here are your hosts, General Eccles and Brandon Schumann.
Welcome back to the Good Night Dad podcast. Today is episode 23. Today we're going to take a little bit different direction, but before we do, I want to remind everybody to please visit mcanights.org/podcast. On that location on our website, there's a survey link just to give us some ideas and some help and direction as far as content, interviewees, subjects, that type of thing for the podcast. Brandon, where are we going today?
Well, today, as you said, is something different, and the something different is we're not trying to necessarily land at any conclusion or impart any specific bit of wisdom or thoughts or process explaining how we do MCA. Instead, what we'd like to do, think out loud and take stock of where we are in this journey of engaging minds, pursuing Christ, and discovering greatness as an organization, as a school, but then also invite you, Mom and Dad, to take stock of your own lives and your own ways of doing things, because this is really where the ruts begin to hit and you just feel like you're just in the routine. And it's important to look in the mirror and see, how am I doing and where am I going, and do I want to keep going in this direction? Do I want to keep doing these same things? It's one thing to have stated ideas and stated visions and stated goals, which is really good and necessary, but sometimes that can be very different than life, how we're actually doing that. And so what we're trying to do on this podcast is just maybe think out loud a little bit of, these are what our goals are, and how are we doing in that process?
It sounds like you're talking about a culture.
Yes. Looking at what's the effectiveness of MCA culture and curriculum, but culture in particular is what I'd like to share about. What we want to do as a school is we want to teach our students to be able to make knowledge of truth, which is another way of saying understand things or make sense of the world, and that's the engaging minds part. We want to encourage our students to love Jesus and to follow him, and that's the pursuing Christ part. We want to invite them to see life with an eternal perspective for greatness, so that they can live lives that are pleasing to God through serving other people. So that's our vision of engaging minds, pursuing Christ, and discovering greatness. Those are the things that MCA culture is aiming toward, and the classical curriculum is trying to orient towards that. Every culture is based upon a consensus of something that's good. That's what makes it a culture. What makes a culture is that it shares some common values and is committed to the same basic convictions. Like I said at the beginning, here we are, it's the end of January, February is about to begin, spring break seems like it's forever away. And so now is as good a time as ever to just stop and reflect and ask ourselves, how are we doing? Just because we have these stated convictions, like, yeah, we're pursuing Christ, are we?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, we're engaging minds. Are we? Or are we just simply going through cold motions? Are we being Pharisees? Maybe another way of saying that.
One thing that strikes me as we're talking, I consider myself kind of a cultural junkie. That's what I'm normally looking for, especially when I come into a new environment. What are the indicators of what the culture is in this place at a different school for an athletic event or in a business, in a town? I'm trying to identify what the culture is. Just want to encourage everybody. Literally just yesterday, I was listening to Comedy Channel on the radio. A guy was just making the point that his dad doesn't believe that America even has a culture, and wasn't particularly that funny, but just the point that he was making. Of course, the point is that we always have a culture. Your family has a culture. Dad, you're the one that basically defines that, casts the vision for it, establishes the bones, puts the meat on the bones, and then helps to develop that. What Brandon's saying, and I think where we're going as far as MCA, is that there's a lot of thought and process put into the culture as well as the curriculum to complement that. And we need to be mindful as dads of what's going on at MCA so that we can contribute to that culture. But even within our own homes and personally, we need to be aware, number one, that we have a culture, even if it's poor or lacking, and that we can help to develop that.
Yeah, as a basic question, do my students love Jesus more now that we're about to begin February? Do they love Jesus more now than they did at the beginning of the year?
That's a hard question.
Do they love learning more now than they did at the beginning of the year? This is just one moment in time. It is a process. It is a journey. Yes, you can take steps backwards in order to go forward. Not all growth is linear. I get all of that. You can't measure the end result based on January. I think it still is worth asking and looking at, okay, do my kids love Jesus more now than they did 2 months ago? And what things am I putting in their path at MCA, whether it's in the classroom or out of the classroom, to help develop and foster and model that love?
Those are profound questions. I understand where you're going with this now. As the leader of a family, we've got to be willing to ask ourselves those questions, give honest answers, let the conviction that comes from those answers do its work. Then work in love and to be positive and inspiring instead of beat down and guilty. If you're falling short in those areas, start trying to head the other direction and start trying to inspire instead of taking your foot off the gas.
So take stock of those things. This podcast is going to end in tension. I mean, really, only you as parents can give the answers for that as it pertains to your specific families. And this podcast is going to end in tension for MCA. I don't have here's the 10 things that we're doing that are going to guarantee that your kid's going to love Jesus more. It is worth the time to just stop and ask those questions. And adding a new thought into this conversation, and really for me, this was kind of the beginning of just kind of having some of these questions, is about a year ago, I read a book by James K.A. Smith called You Are What You Love, The Power of Habit. I've lent that book out, so if you're listening to this and you're the person that I lent that book out, do you mind giving it back? But in that book, what Jamie Smith presents is this idea that most of us as Christians know the truth. We know what's good. We know what's right. We know what God expects of us most of the time. And yet we still often fail to live up to his standard. And that just stops and asks the question, why? Part of the answer that he provides, and I think this is true, is that virtue or goodness or living a life that's pleasing to God is not only a head thing. It's not only a truth thing. You can understand the truth and still disobey it. My kids do that all the time. I do that all the time. And so just understanding truth does not guarantee good outcomes. So what he provides is extra thought, and he doesn't guarantee this is going to also provide good outcomes. So it's not, hey, apply this idea to your life and you're going to be fixed forever. As sinful, fallen human beings, we cannot redeem ourselves apart from God's grace. A huge thing that helps shape our actions and drives our actions are the things that we love. If you know that something is bad for you, but yet you love chocolate cake and you're used to eating chocolate cake all the time, even though you may know it's bad, you're still going to just indulge on a first piece, or in my case, a fourth piece of pie or cake. My appetites and my loves are help driving that. And in that book, he says it's about the power of habit. And what habit is, it's a repeated action. It's things that we do. And our habits shape our virtues and our vices. When you develop these habits, they shape things that are good things or bad things. And so habits aren't necessarily good or bad by themselves, but they help shape our character. And over time, what habits can become is what Jamie Smith calls liturgies. For me, who comes from not a high church background that doesn't do a lot of liturgical things, a liturgy is any ritual or thing that you do as kind of an act of worship or an act of love towards something. And Jamie Smith says, we all have these liturgies. And one that I grew up with was watching NFL football games on Sunday afternoon. So it's, you go to church, you get your church fix. We learn a lot there, and I enjoyed going to church growing up. But I also loved getting home in the fall to go watch NFL football games. And then when I got married, I carried that over and then would basically spend my entire Sunday afternoon devoted to the worship of Sunday afternoon football games. And as I watch sports, and Laura can tell you this to this day, you don't talk to me when I'm watching sports. I'm enthralled in the game. I'm in battle mode, even though I'm sitting on a couch, which is just all sorts of bizarre. I just refused to really engage with my wife from about 12:30 in the afternoon. And then after the first game's over, then you watch the second game, and then you watch the highlights of all the games you didn't see, and then you get the Sunday night game. And then I'm like, oh, now I've got to get ready for MCA tomorrow. And so I basically just checked out from my wife for a whole day. She was really gracious in that. It hurt her, and it hurt me too without knowing it. Probably about 10 years ago, I just said, okay, this is a problem of how much I love this. I mean, and it's not that watching football games is bad, but this is a problem. And so I just took a whole year and didn't watch any football games until you got to the Super Bowl. Largely from that helped kind of cure me of that liturgy and that love. I enjoyed it, and watching football games again can be a good thing, but I was missing a much greater good of having relationship with my wife and having Sundays as a day that wasn't just dedicated to that one thing. And so that's just an example of maybe a secular liturgy and just as a confession of one that I had. The question, again, just kind of putting this back at MCA and to you as parents and just to consider for your own families is, what are the liturgies that orient your hearts and shape the souls of yourself and your kids?
Oh, that's good.
And then what loves are they forming? Trying to just be aware of that. Then you're at a position to say, okay, is this a good thing or not?
So you're saying that the same way I was saying we all have a culture.
Yes.
You're saying we all have a liturgy in the sense of a pattern, preferences, vices, loves. I mean, all that plays in. You're just saying alter that liturgy. So does the things that we love determine the liturgy, or the liturgy determines the things that we love?
I think it drives both, but Jamie Smith says the liturgies drive the love, I think, is a big part of it. The habits determine, shape the character. The liturgies drive the love. From 2008 on, I haven't been nearly as addicted to NFL football games. I enjoy them. If one's on, I'll sit down and watch it, but I'm not just so engrossed. I'm not just thinking, oh, I've got to watch that game coming up next week, or I can't wait till my team plays this game in 3 weeks. That's going to be the game that determines the season, kind of thing. I'm not thinking about it in those terms. And if you knew me before 2008, a lot of what I talked about was either great books and football, especially in the fall. And now I just don't really care. And I think a big part of that was just taking that really dramatic step of rehabbing myself, I guess, in a way of like, okay, I'm going to remove myself from this addiction. And that's a lot of what MCA can be as a classical school, is we're not just teaching kids how to think. We're trying to shape their loves towards the things that God cares about. MCA, I mean, you can think this is maybe a bizarre way of thinking about it, but MCA is a cultural rehab facility, because our culture has these loves, these good things that are out there that may or may not line up with God's scripture. And we all are addicted to things that are in our culture that are less than good. And that's part of this process of sanctification and growing and being conformed more into the image of Christ. And MCA and church and your family can be ways and places, sanctuaries, to help reshape and form the habits and the liturgies that are going to drive us to love Jesus more. Or if they're copies of other things that are less than what God wants, then they can cause us to not love God as much as we ought. And I think we state that we want to pursue Christ. We state that we want to love Jesus. But MCA does have its liturgies, of whether it's at the upper school, and that's what I'm thinking of primarily right now, because that's just kind of the mode that I've got. MCAG, the grammar school, has its liturgies of just the schedule and the routine, and those form habits and shape things. But what loves are they producing and driving? And are those always good things? And how can we better align ourselves towards that, towards what's good?
Just as a man, I mean, looking at this personally, I'm just processing through it. And I think it's safe to say that most of my frustrations throughout the day are when things violate my liturgy. And then if I look deeper, a lot of my liturgy could be easily improved.
Yeah.
or should be improved. I don't know if easily is the right word, but my liturgy, my habits, my sequence, where my love is placed and the things that I love. Man, if I could alter the liturgy, it'd eliminate a lot of frustrations as well.
Yeah, potentially it can. And that's really where the engaging minds is, of just stopping and saying, okay, I now see myself, take the time to look at myself, my habits, my actions, and see, are these things lining up with the things that I claim I care about and the things that I want to care about and maybe don't? Another one for me that I'm currently kind of wrestling through is I'm addicted to checking the internet on my phone, and that's kind of like a liturgy. And it's really refreshing when I'll just like not do that for a couple of days. It's like, man, I was really engaged with people today. I was able to come home and love on my kids, talk with my wife, as opposed to just being sucked into that world. And again, having a smartphone is a really valuable tool to help me communicate and do all of the things that I do. But if it becomes this liturgy, I can love just getting whatever fix that I get from accessing the screens and seeing and reading news articles or sports articles or what have you, that just interrupts the flow and rhythm, perhaps interrupts the flow and rhythm of greater things and better thoughts and a more tangible engagement with those that I'm physically present with. That's a liturgy that I'm currently trying to wrestle through and see how that shapes. And as I do those things, it not only inhibits my ability to engage with other people, it also means that my reading becomes a lot less shallow, or the understanding of my reading becomes less shallow, because I just get used to reading, okay, this article's 300 words. And so I just get used to just kind of that fast food articles. And when you read a great book, it doesn't finish in three words. It hardly even gets started in 300 words. And if I just get used to that rhythm of like, hey, this is supposed to be done, I'm ready to move to the next thing. Dante hasn't even gotten started.
I'm the same way with fiction. My liturgy is, that's what I enjoy, is this particular style, speed, shallowness for the most part. And then when I need to read something significant, suddenly it's challenging for some reason because that's not my existing culture.
With all of this, I'm not trying to say, here's the answer to all of this stuff, but it's just, here's some things to think about, especially as dads. Take stock of your own life. And when you read God's word, as James says, it's a mirror that shows us God's glory. And that's what it says in 1st or 2nd Corinthians. And then James says it also shows us who we are. And then don't forget who you are in light of who God's word is. And so look at God's word. That's the vision of who we're trying to be like, is be like Christ. Take stock of how you are in relationship and context to where it is that God's trying to make you. What are the things that you're doing? And then what are those things that you're doing back to you and your family?
Yeah.
I think it's important to ask that question as a dad, and then also as a school. Okay, what are the things that we're about as a school? Because this is the time of year where we start thinking about, okay, what's the vision going to look like for next year? It can be really hard to change things in the moment, but it's always important to just stop and think.
Man, absolutely. Brandon, thanks so much. I just want to encourage everybody, apart from our relationship and this podcast, what we intended to talk about today, this is exactly where I'm at. And I don't know if it's the time of year, I don't know if it's the season of life, but I would just encourage dads that if anything that we're talking about brings any level of conviction, just take that for what it is. There's a little red flag waving, and don't get down about it. But I would just encourage dads, especially if you're lacking in anything, pray about it, number one, and the Lord promises to be sufficient in all that we need today. That's truth, and that's fact, and that's scriptural. Even more practical than that, in the process of prayer, try something new today. Upset your liturgy if your liturgy isn't delivering what you want it to as a dad, or as a business leader, as a friend, and as a husband especially. If you're lacking in any of those areas, don't get down about it. Just begin to pursue the Lord specifically in those. Let's establish a new culture this year in ourselves, in our families, and MCA already does a pretty good job of it, but we're all people down there. Where something stinks, let's get rid of it. That may be oversimplifying it, but so what? Let's be oversimplified. If you need to get outside more, get outside. If you need to go to the Word more, begin to do that and start to establish that as your liturgy, and who knows, your love may follow. Is that accurate?
That's definitely fair. And so if there's anything in this podcast or other podcasts that the Good Night Dad podcast has presented that you've enjoyed or benefited from, I would encourage you to share that with somebody else, especially MCA families. But it's not only for MCA families necessarily. So we're at a point where we've developed our liturgies, and maybe this is a part of your liturgy. And if so, thank you very much for making us a part of your day and your week and your life. But if you think that this is beneficial for others, please share that with them so that they can also benefit and learn and grow as well. And then again, just inviting you all to fill out the survey at mcanights.org/podcast. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Good Night Dad podcast, brought to you by Midland Classical Academy. Engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering greatness.